to the Better Golf Podcast, where bettors go to bet better. Here are your hosts, Tee Off Sports and Sticks Picks.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to Better Golf Podcast. I'm your host, Tee Off Sports, and as always, I'm excited to be joined by my partner, Sticks Picks, as the two of us will be taking you through the board and discussing all things betting related at this week's American Express out in California. If you aren't doing so already, we hope you will consider signing up for Underdog Fantasy, where you can play and hold real money drafts against either friends or random opponents. Nick and I have been pushing hard for week-long contests, so stay on the lookout for that. And they just released season-long best ball drafts for the 2024 season that are going to be game-changing for the industry. For more Underdog information, be sure to check out my season-long model that I released over at Rotoballer. That model will allow customizable rankings when you make a copy and hopefully serve as your one-stop shop for all season-long golf content. You can sign up today over at Underdog with the code BGP to get a 100% dollar match of up to $100 in total. If you have any questions about all the great perks that Underdog has to offer, feel free to contact either myself on Twitter at TeeOffSports or Nick at StixPicks. Nick, it was another close call for you last week at the Sony with Keegan Bradley and the ticket you had there. Do you want to talk to us a little bit about that? Do you want to move on straight past that?
I mean, it is what it is. The numbers that I'm able to create so far have been solid. I'm not mad about that. I think I'm beating the market in places, but obviously, like, it's still, we're betting on human beings here, so no number and math is ever gonna, you know, just come to fruition. You still need the guys to play. It sucks having Jordy kind of fall apart in the last three holes there at the Century, and then Keegan Bradley, of course. Grayson Murray, like Ben on, I'm okay with that, but I mean, Grayson made a 34 footer, whatever it was. That was an awesome putt and he went nuts. So you got to love when people react like that. And that's a huge win, solidifies his tour card for quite some time. So it is what it is, but yeah, it sucks that you're that close and a really good number on Keegan too. I tweeted that out right at the, I think the couple, like half a day before lock or whatever, like I was going really heavy on him in DFS and then got the outright ticket as well, just because there was too much talent. He was too cheap in terms of the field, but no, it is what it is. I'm not too upset. We've had worse, so we'll continue on. And we got Tony Finau in the field this week, so I'm sure that'll be fun.
Tony Finau in the week has just turned into an automatic bet for us here at Better Golf. But do you want to move into the tournament this week? I don't know if you want to talk about anything specific with the course. We can jump into the DraftKings board if you want to go that route. I know we talk about the course on a lot of different programs over at Action Network and everything that we do there. So it's up to you of how you want to handle this.
Yeah, let's get into the slate in terms of ownership and plays, fades, all that good stuff. But real quick, Prasant beat me again in the head-to-head. So if anybody else wants to challenge me in the head-to-head, I'm giving away money the first 2 weeks. Century was close, very close. This week, dude, putting Fitz in the cash lineup was a bad idea. It's a debutant on the second most predictive course on the PGA Tour. So, and we paid up for Fitz. So I loved Chris Kirk. I should have just went Chris Kirk and I win this contest because I was close. It wasn't a blowout. I lost by, 32 points. Pretty much the miscut. I had Fitz, Brian Harman, Brendan Todd, Adam Svensson. I don't know if we need to talk about that. Absolute debacle on 18 to lose the top 20 ticket, which would have had me break even on the week. Let me get my results for PGA. I was negative 0.161 units. Svensson getting in there would have put me to broke even. So that really sucked. And I was watching that on Shot Tracker just slowly get out of our hands and he gets T30. But Andrew Putnam, top 10, he was in the cash lineup. And then Grayson Sig, which is my numbers liked him. Your numbers liked him even more. I think he had just a bad Sunday, but either way, like he was like 1% owned in large field cash game tournaments. So obviously was not owned by my competition in the head to head. So I think Grayson hit value for sure. To just make the cut at that price. Obviously that's what got me up to Fitz to have that salary. So probably should have went Justin Rose. I think he was like 8,200. I think that's just a clear misprice in cash. You probably just play that. So maybe reinventing the wheel on my end, but I'm excited to figure out what our cash lineup is this week and welcome all head-to-head challengers again. So I'm 0-2 on the year in the head-to-head, but one and two overall in cash games because the Century lineup did get through the pay line quite easily. But yeah, let's get into the Amex. I don't know if there's anything else you want to add. It looks like the weather's great, so I wouldn't worry about that. 54-hole cut, all that good stuff. But yeah, if you want to hear Spencer's in-depth breakdown on the course, I would just go to the Action Network podcast that we have there. I think it was a great one this week. It was a little long, but we were really diving into some good stuff there, and I think we found some value on the board. But what's your betting card this week?
Very minimal. It's kind of my similar answer that I continue to give. I grabbed Tony Finau at 40-1 when the week opened. It's dropped a little bit. I'll let you talk about one of the players that I wish I would have added to my card. And I guess I technically still could, but I'm trying to be very cautious with my approach. But Finau at 40-1, Siwoo Kim at 50-1. I grabbed a Chris Kirk ticket over Shane Lowry at minus 120. Unfortunately, that number is gone in the space at that point. I don't see it lower than minus 150 anywhere. In retrospect, Nick, I wish I would have bet that for larger than I did, rather than just a standard one unit win. My numbers are very low on Lowry. I thought he was one of the most mispriced players on the board in where they put him for that matchup there. I did take Robert McIntyre for a top 40 at plus 200. And then one of the wagers that I added, and this seems to be one of my bugaboos, which just catches up on me every single week here. Keith Mitchell, bet him top 20 plus 350.
Keith.
Any thoughts there?
I always love Keith. I don't know if his game's where I want it to be. Let me see where I even have. He's pretty long on my numbers. Where is he at? I would have that price just a little bit longer, but I will never tell someone not to bet Keith. I love him. I mean, he's just a pure swing, but for some reason just doesn't ever get it done for me when I need him to. So I'm okay with sitting out on that one because I seem to be the Keith killer. And you could have killer Keith.
I feel like every single time we've taken Keith Mitchell, he has led the field ball striking and proceeded to miss the cut. Yeah, and just missed every putt. We're heading over to a putting contest right now. So probably not the best narrative based off of that. But I just thought that was a little bit too large of a price. But I would make an argument, Nick, and we can talk about this as we get into the $7,000 range on DraftKings. I thought there were a lot of players that were kind of marginally underpriced in various portions of the board. We can discuss that later, but if you want to start us at the top, I guess we'll go there and we'll work our way down.
Yeah. So the ticket I think you were referring to that we both like, I don't know if we both love it, but just a good price in general in case this guy's game is in fact back. I don't think we'll ever see Justin Thomas as long as 28-1 right now, I believe is the best price on the market. That is at Circa. I took him at 27-1 at Circa. So now, do I go back for a little extra? Probably not. I don't think I want to get that exposed to Justin Thomas, but we talked briefly about his ball striking, I guess, to end the fall swing there. And it was small tournaments and not very great fields by any means, but if his game's back and if he can hit a fairway, his short game is so elite. We know the putter can get hot. That's kind of what let him down in the summer of 2023. This dude's a 12-1, 15-1 golfer. Type of range, especially in this tournament. So for me, that was just a bad price if his game is back. And it's obviously very volatile, but that's kind of what we're accepting when we're playing the outright market in general. Chris Kirk at 50-1. I think that number is still available on Bet365. Aaron Rye, I don't think I would have ever got to Aaron Rye. I'm not an Aaron Rye guy. That was at 125 on PointsBet. That number is gone. Looks like PointsBet is now laying 110. I would stay away there. But just a ball striker. I think that's pretty much what I handicap this week is I want ball strikers. A little bit distance is okay for the short course, but you don't need it. And guys that can make putts and guys that can get up and down around the green when they do miss a green. Mac Meisner, debutante on, I guess he's had a couple sponsor exemptions for the Valero in Texas there. But Mac Meisner, top 40 on BetMGM, where Ty's paying full at plus 350. I was going to bet him to make the cut, but going over it with you, it looked like there was more value in the top 40 ticket. I don't know much about this guy. I just watched him a little bit on TV last year in college. Looks like he just absolutely rips a golf ball. He knows where it's going. He could shape it both ways. So for me, it was just betting on the talent there. That's probably a ticket I would not advise. Hammer Kid Play of the Week, Adam Shank, top 40, where Ty's paying full again on BetMGM at 120. And your boy Alex Smalley to win 110-1 on BetESPN. Let me make sure that that is still out there. I think it is. It looks like MGM and PointsBet at 100 flat. I would assume BetESPN or ESPN Bet, whatever they call themselves, it's probably still laying that 110. And then KH Lee to win on Circa at 140. I had to get a couple bombs down the board. Also, again, up on top of the board, Tom Kim, 28-1. Do you have any thoughts on Tom Kim and Justin Thomas? Actually, we can get into that on the DFS side here. Let's transfer right to the DFS side. Scottie Scheffler, the only golfer above 11K, 25% ownership projection is what I got. What do you got on the ownership there?
26.5.
I'm out. I'm gonna fade it. It's not like I'm saying he's bad. Obviously, it's Scottie Scheffler, one of the best ball strikers in the world. If John Rahm was right about anything, maybe this is a putting contest. I'm okay fading Scottie Scheffler there, especially when guys like Xander Schauffele, Patrick Cantlay, Sungjae Im, Tom Kim, Justin Thomas, not saying they're the quality of golfer Scottie Scheffler is. I don't think they're that far behind, and all of them have significantly lower ownership. When Scottie pretty much needs to top five this event to pay value there at that ownership, I think I'm just going to fade it, and I'll sleep just fine at night fading him.
I've mentioned this a million times throughout articles and podcasts. I think if you want to base this off of Justin Thomas and up in the price scale, it's kind of the exact argument that you just made for this. I think pricing is really solid across the board. So I am curious to see where that Scheffler number moves over the next, let's say, 12 hours here, because I've heard a lot of sentiment in the space that people are going to fade him, and that hasn't necessarily been accounted for with the ownership that I'm seeing. I'm only seeing it move up at this point, but you always get those last minute deviations where numbers shift and somebody may jump in a different area. So I would like to see and have a little bit more of that like concrete ownership projections later on into the night, because I think Scheffler, Xander, Cantlay, Sungjae, even if we're just saying this is 10,000 and up, to me, these are the four best golfers in this field. They're my four top win equity players. Not going to be able to play all of them, but I'm kind of still in one of those molds or modes right now where it's going to be a mix and match up top. The one thing I will say to move it down into the $9,000 range, Nick, is I continue to find myself over and over again, and this has been the hardest thing. When I look directly at Tom Kim, my model loves him. It thinks he's correctly priced. It thinks he's a good course fit here. My model consistently wants to either move up and pay for Sungjae or move down and pay for Justin Thomas. So I continue to be in this weird spot with Tom Kim that he's kind of getting priced out from me or ownershiped out from me based off of like exactly what I'm trying to build here.
I'm cool with that. So what do you see Tom Kim's ownership?
I see 15.5%.
Okay. I am at like 13. So not a huge difference there. And yeah, looking at Thomas, I have Justin Thomas at 9%.
Okay, yeah.
I think that's low. I can't imagine that many people. Like, he's still a fan favorite. I think he'll be in the 10 to 12 range.
I have him at 13 currently. I would
tend to. I think you're closer.
Yeah, I think it's going to be closer to that number. But, I mean, where do you have Sungjae? Because, I mean, I guess that's the big.
22.
Yeah, I have him at 21. If I'm looking at a 21% Sungjae and a 16% give or take Tom Kim, I would rather play Sungjae based off of that. And if I'm looking at a 9 to, let's just say, 15%, we'll put it in the complete spectrum of it, Justin Thomas, I would rather play that than Tom Kim. So if Tom Kim wins this golf tournament, I won't be shocked. It's just I think I'm going to be out for that reason, unfortunately.
I'm cool that the market would agree. So Sungjae is a big favorite over Tom Kim. And pretty much the same amount, I guess, every deviation here. Like, they're pretty much the same exact golfer, Justin Thomas and Tom Kim, in terms of the matchups against Sungjae Im. So for me, that's, I think, JT is probably a little undervalued in comparison to his price, and Tom Kim's kind of just sitting in the middle as a dog to both of them. So I'm cool with fading Tom Kim. If his ownership's above 15, I think I would just bail and play more JT and a little more Sungjae.
So I'm with you. I think it's very close between Tom Kim and Justin Thomas. Like, I just want to preface it one more time with that I'm just not going to play both of them with the way that I'm constructing.
Respect. I like that. All right, let's go down. Another matchup is Jason Day is a big dog to Minwoo Lee, but Minwoo Lee is a massive dog to Sam Burns. Do we get them both out and just play Sam Burns? I know it's taboo for you to take Jason Day out of the player pool. I did not find a lot of value on Jason Day this week, but 6% ownership is what I'm seeing right now. Kind of interested.
I think that the two contrarian routes to consider, and one is bringing better form to the mix than the other, would be Ricky Fowler and Jason Day. We've seen this. There were two players for me that were the closest to making my outright card, maybe three if you want to include Jason Day in that mix. But the two closest to me were Justin Thomas and
Ricky.
And Ricky. And when Ricky got up to like 80 at one point, it was one of those situations to where I was highly considering jumping in because like my numbers had that much lower. We've seen the market correct itself at a certain point here. So now he's back down into that, I believe, 50-ish to one range at most books that you're looking at. He's a massive underdog in any matchup that you want to find out there. But I think that kind of expresses Ricky and maybe even expresses Jason Day here in one of those vacuum situations of how you're looking at it, because both of those two golfers for me have massive upside. I think the floor is going to be a little bit shakier than their counterparts, but if nobody wants to play them, I probably rank it Day and then Fowler for that reason. But there's a lot to like about Jason Day when I looked at my model, whether it's the comp course splits that I did, how he performs at some of these shorter par 72s, how he performs on these easy scoring courses. Do think that the price is a little bit high at 9,600, but it's kind of the sentiment that you and I always give. If the price is going to be too high, the ownership better account for that. And the ownership is accounting for that right now. So I do believe that there is potential GPP slate breaking potential from him. But you have to know what kind of risk that you're buying into, because the iron play at any point can always go wonky on him.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember your numbers seem to always like Jason Day in the shorter courses. So I'm cool with that. I think 5% Jason Day, if I just refresh. It's got to be higher than that, but still, it'll be sub 10. So yeah, I think I'm in on Jason Day. I think I'm going to be out on Minwoo Lee. What's your ownership on Minwoo Lee? Has he ever played desert golf? I don't know if that means anything, you know, like, but just trying to find a reason to fade Minwoo Lee is kind of my mindset right now. I know the dude's on fire. He is absolutely lighting it up internationally, but it's a ball striker's course. And for me, I don't know. I'm not there with the irons on him yet. So to pay that much and to see that he's a dog in the market and still popular in the DFS world, I think I'm probably just going to be out on Minwoo Lee.
Yeah, I would probably agree. I do think that there are courses that are going to be better suited for his game. The iron play is a problem for a course with a lot of water. Give me him at a challenging course where he can use his scrambling. And he is a great par five scorer, though. If there's a saving grace in this situation, I do think that the biggest comp that you can find, or the corollary trend between the three venues, will be that you need to score on the par fives. He does that just about as well as anybody because of that distance that he brings to the mix. So I understand why people are backing him. We might be a little bit premature, though, at this tournament. This might be more of a situation to where at Torrey Pines, that feels like a better course for him, that he's going to be able to utilize some of his strengths.
Yeah, especially with the distance off the tee too. Let it rip out there. So Sam Burns, I'm going to be in. Tony Finau, we're obviously going to be in. Ricky Fowler, I think you made a good point. JT Poston up to 9,100, more expensive than Chris Kirk and Wyndham Clark. Major champion Wyndham Clark, potentially going to lifts too, but that's not really our show, so we'll skip over that. But JT Poston, very high ownership projection right now, very high price, but we've talked about it for a while. This dude is just playing great golf, the best golf of his life. I think you can not even arguably say, like, you just say it. The GPP in me says that that's got to go. What can you find bad about his game? Because I'm trying to find, minimally, I can at least say, okay, you know what? The iron play is not exactly where I want it to be for the sample size I'm looking at. JT Poston is lighting it up everywhere. He hits fairways. His approach game is good. His long irons are good, which he's probably going to need here. Scrambling is good, and putting second to not many.
I think when you look at JT Poston here, if there's any negative that you want to look to other than ownership here, it would be that his inability that he's had relative to the players priced next to him to score on some of these short par 72s and easy scoring venues. I agree with what you said, Nick. When you look at it here, there's very little to dislike. The ownership would be the big caveat that I think is going to take me out in GPP contests for that reason. If I'm directly comparing, I don't think there's a massive difference between Poston and Kirk. If you're telling me I can get Kirk at half the ownership, I would rather play Chris Kirk. And even if we're looking directly, like, I'm going to be very aggressive with Tony Finau this week. I see him at 11% ownership. He's the biggest climber in my model. If he is able to make putts on this very pure surface that you get here with this overseeded Bermuda. So I'm going to be out on Poston for that reason. I think he's a great cash game play if you want to insert him into one of those lineups. We've seen him at this venue in the past post back-to-back top 25 finishes, including an additional seventh place for just looking at the past 5 years here in 2019. A lot to like about his game. You look at Data Golf, you see him right now as a player that they believe is a top 20 golfer. My model's not necessarily that aggressive with it. When I ran my numbers for the full season, I think it had him just outside the top 25, but this is not a price tag that is, you know, a come and go situation. According to my numbers, like, I think he is here to stay this year. And the data looks really good with the way that it's trending. I just hate the ownership.
Love it. All right. You don't have to convince me to fade a 22% upper mid-tier guy, especially when Chris Kirk is right below him. Wyndham Clark, what are your thoughts on Wyndham Clark and Eric Cole? I think Shane Lowry, I know you don't like him. I may roll the dice there. Like, what do you not like about Shane Lowry? Well, I'm talking in circles here. Let's go Chris Kirk, Wyndham Clark, Eric Cole.
Are you concerned at all with the Wyndham Clark news about him potentially going to LIV and how that's going to affect him this week?
I am. I just feel like if it's actually true, it has a good source said it yet?
I don't know. To be honest with you, when any of those things come out, I don't know what's a good source and what's not a good source. I kind of try to ignore it until it becomes factual.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know. I mean, if he is going, then I would understand you kind of pack it in and you don't really care. You're just playing to play. But 8,900 for the upside of Wyndham Clark. The market seems to like Wyndham Clark. Let me pull up his matchups.
My model likes him fine also. Like, I
decent
wish...
favorite over Ricky. I think That's all I can find. No, and then he is a dog to Chris Kirk, but not by much. So I think that says a lot for Chris Kirk. I think Ricky is right there with him. I mean, he's a 30-point dog, 20-point dog, 15-point dog, depending on what book you're looking at. So I don't know. If Wyndham Clark's only 10% owned, I think I'd roll the dice.
I mean, you could convince me based off of that. What is the price with Wyndham and Ricky? Because my model also thinks Wyndham should be a favorite over Ricky for what it's worth.
Going to Bet Online right now, looks like it's -122 to +102 in favor of Wyndham.
It's about where I have it also.
And so yeah, 115, 105. On one of mine, but that's a online like mom and pop shop that I use that has pretty low hold percentages. So I do like that. But again, it's always like matchup stud against stud ones that never draw in my action. So it's kind of useless. So congrats on the low hold percentage, but I still don't bite. So I don't know, man, that one's tough.
I'm not going to blame somebody who wants to play Wyndham. I wish the ownership, and if it continues to drop, I mean, that's great. But I mean, if you're directly comparing Wyndham to, and I'm trying to find somebody who's like, I would
Eric Cole.
What are we doing with Eric Cole? I mean, the price is too cheap, right?
I'm asking you, but yeah, dude, I've seen an ownership projection of 12 and I've seen one for 22. So I don't know what to believe. What do you got? Right in the middle. Great. Yeah. So that helps. I mean, let's check Eric Cole. Massive favorite to Ricky. I think he's just too cheap. And he is a slight favorite to even money with JT Poston.
That might be the answer there to just you eliminate Poston from the player pool and Cole makes sense.
I mean, there's just nothing. We talked a little bit about Eric Cole on Action Network. There's just like, what can you even say about his game? I mean, he's a little erratic off the tee. It seems like he's getting better at that too to start the season. Century, it is what it is, hitting fairways there. Everybody does it, but he hit a lot of fairways at Sony. Iron play, unbelievable. Hasn't missed a cut in what, 17 starts, I think we established last night. Ball striking is through the roof. His long irons are good. His mid irons are fantastic. His short irons are great. And he's rolls a rock. So I think we play Eric Cole. We're out on post. And you cool with that?
I think that's probably the optimal way to play it. And the one thing I will say about Cole here with the inaccuracy and the lack of distance that he brings to the table for this venue, yes, it's a lot better if you find the fairway. he's not a golfer that's going to miss every fairway. Like, it's relatively speaking, when we say he's a bad driver of the golf ball, he's not going up there and hitting the ball 230 and into a bush every single time. Like, he's still a good driver of the ball, just relatively speaking with some of these guys. He's a little bit inferior in those areas, but as long as you're not driving it into the water, and he is going to find enough fairways that I do think he can provide birdie opportunities, it's desert golf at the end of the day. Like, if you're not in the water, you can still scramble out here and produce scores. It's not Florida golf, for example, to where if you miss the fairway, you're in the water half the time. So I have no reasons, or my model has no reasons to want to fade him this week. I don't even find the ownership at 16% to be that egregious for the general mispricing that I believe is out there right now.
Love it. All right. I think it's fair to say, too, I'll play Eric Cole and JT Poston in the cash lineup so far.
Poston is great in a cash game build. Like, that's more of where he's suited to be played.
Love it. All right. We're in on Siwoo. Don't need to talk about him. Yes. You could just go to any Better Golf Pod show when Siwoo's in the field to get our thoughts on him. We love him like we love Tony Finau, or you love Tony Finau, even though I swore off Tony Finau and I'm back in the first week at the Century I was in, and now week three. So he's played two tournaments and I've backed him in twice. So I'm an absolute lying coward when it comes to fading guys that have lost me money for multiple seasons now, but I'm right back in. New year, same me. Cameron Davis, 8,400. In?
I think I'm in at sub 10% ownership. He doesn't seem to be gaining a lot of traction in the space. I don't know where he currently stands. I'm looking it up right now in matchups. He's a favorite against Akshay.
And I see him as a slight dog to Chris Kirk, who the market respects.
Yep.
In Adam Hadwin, classic desert golfer.
What ownership do you see on Hadwin?
11.
Yeah, I see 12.5%. When this started on Monday, and I don't know if it's because the market has moved against them so heavily, and now all of a sudden, I mean, we've been talking about this, Nick, on the show. Like, not that I want to credit us for this information, but we've been talking about this on the show for legitimately 3 years, or however long this show has been in duration for. One of the things that we do like to look at when situations get close is all of this matchup movement and where the sharp money's coming in. It's everything that we've been discussing currently and everything that we've discussed in the past with it. Hadwin is becoming an underdog in every single matchup, which has somehow moved all the ownership off of him, because he was like one of the five most popular players for me on Monday. And now all of a sudden I have him at this 12.5% mark. Maybe your 11% number could be correct too. He's outside of the top 10 in ownership. Great on desert golf courses, inside of the top 10 of my model this week for a lot of those reasons and how he performs on similar courses. I think I'm going to ignore the market here. And this is just a spot where I kind of think my model and what we've seen historically from Hadwin is going to be correct. I know that some people are pointing to the miscut at the Sony, and okay, that's fine. He had a terrible Friday, but when you look at that tournament specifically, I added him as an outright on Thursday night. He ends up missing the cut after that, but he was one of the top ball strikers in the tournament leading into that second round. Also was one of the top projected scores on the board for me of what his total should have been when I compared his baseline short game stats with what he actually produced. And then it all unraveled for him on the second day, but I'm not so sure that form is as bad as it looks there with that miscut.
Yeah, top 10 in ball striking at that first round on Thursday. Missed a cut on the number two, so it's not like it's a bad one. I feel like all the steam is going towards Taylor Montgomery, and I don't know how you feel about Taylor Montgomery. I think I'm going to fade that. But Hadwin, I think I'm going to keep in. Again, I could keep a lot of these guys. Like, getting rid of Poston helps a lot. Getting rid of Scotty Scheffler, obviously, I'm not going to say helps a lot, but it gets me different right then and there. So I'm cool with that, and I'm okay with a lot of these guys in the mid-range because I do think there's some win equity there. Adam Hadwin, I don't think, has ever finished outside the top 30 at this course, has he? T32 in 2021, my bad, but inside the top 25 four to other times that he's played here. So works for me. Akshay Bhatia, thoughts on him? I'm not an Akshay guy. I don't know what it is. I don't know what to think about him. He is a massive favorite to Taylor Montgomery, which – again, what is your ownership on Taylor Montgomery? I thought he's going to be everybody's darling this week.
I have him at 16%.
Yeah, fuck that. Sorry for cussing, but you know, I'm not. People voted. They want the full. Yeah, I'm out on Taylor Montgomery. What are your thoughts on Akshay?
I'm probably out on both of those two.
I just don't know how to handicap Akshay because I don't know. I just don't know. Ball striking is becoming a thing now. And I like that. Short game's terrible. Putter, I don't trust to save my life, but he's gained strokes putting his last two events. So the market likes him.
Yeah, I mean, that's at least a positive note to it, I guess. I'm the problem is I would just
like,
rather
play. I'm sorry to cut you off. I feel like I'd rather play Steven Yeager over both of them.
Well, that's fair. That's probably the correct answer.
German Hammer, baby, give me it.
Yeah, that's kind of the problem that I just keep running into though with Akshay is that I'd rather play Yeager. I'd rather move up to Siwoo. We're going to be playing Eric Cole now. Like, yeah, there's a price difference between some of those names. You can move up or down based off of those answers. But I don't know. I kind of just tend to think that Yeager has a better overall rank for me with lower ownership. And I mean, I think the safety numbers are probably pretty similar for two golfers that, I mean, with Yeager, I guess we haven't necessarily seen the upside from him, but that's more of a lack of him putting the pieces together for 4 days than anything else. Like he puts himself in contention and then all of a sudden he has one bad round of golf, which is what's killing him at this point. But I feel like this is a good course for him.
For sure. All right. Akshay, he was fourth in ball striking at the Sony. I don't know if I could just get rid of that form. Taylor Montgomery, I'm going to be out. Andrew Putnam. Well, we won't go name by name here for the rest of the show, guys, so don't worry. But the ownership on Putnam's pretty high. But he's good. Like, he just never, like, he's a guy I've never really gotten pissed off on. I feel like when I play him, he makes cuts. He doesn't miss many cuts anyway, and he's good.
Let me ask you this. Well, we won't run through every name, but just a handful here. Putnam versus Cameron Davis, who would you rather play?
In a GPP, Cam Davis, cash Putnam.
Adam Hadwin versus Andrew Putnam, who would you rather play?
This week and where the ownership's going on Hadwin, give me Hadwin both times.
I think I give both of the same answers there. And I think that's the problem for me is just where Putnam probably doesn't make a build for me unless it's directly for a cash game. I'm fine with him. And I'm fine with him in general. It's just, I'd rather play him for cash if push came to shove with it. And I agree with your general sentiment also with Taylor Montgomery. The industry as a whole, it's one of the things that we talk about quite frequently. They love these golfers that have presented any semblance of form that don't necessarily have the best metrics. I understand Montgomery has the birdie making potential here, but I don't think his upside is quite as high as the consensus seems to believe it is. You can correct me if you think I am wrong on that, but I thought he should have been, I mean, if you wanted to give me him at, I don't know, 80 to 100 to 1 to win this golf tournament, we could have a different discussion there because I'll take on that boom or bust nature that he at least has. But I don't love some of the off the tee and approach metrics that he provides. I just don't know if for 4 days he can keep that up to win a golf tournament.
Better I literally
play based off of that.
He grades very similar for me. And this guy actually grades a little bit ahead is Taylor Pendrith. At 7,800, I'd rather have over a chalky Taylor Montgomery. So Putnam, are we in or out in GPPs?
I'll say out personally. I don't hate it if anybody wants to use him, but I will be out.
Is he in the cash game lineup, you think?
I think he's definitely in consideration as somebody that I'm going to give the same answer that I just gave a second ago. I think Taylor Montgomery in a cash game lineup also works too, but it's just for GPPs, I can't get there.
I'm not playing him. I'm just not playing him anywhere. All right. Steven Yeager, Bo Hostler, you like, we're in on Yeager, Bo Hostler. I like Pendrith. I'm going to keep him in the pool. Any thoughts on Bo Hostler? And then we'll start skipping a lot of guys here.
Very good golfer who has been historically not great here before his 50th place last year. I think there are reasons to believe that he could turn into this year's version of Wyndham Clark. Don't know if that ends up becoming a major champion winner at the end of the day, but if the approach play can improve, which is what we saw towards the end of 2023, plus the added distance that he has been continuing to add, it looks like every single time I update my model, I was surprised that he was this cheaply priced. And I guess that comes down to the form that he has had at this tournament in the past. But I do tend to think, regardless of what my model is saying, because my model thinks he's a negative value, I tend to think that he is a good play at 7,800 just because he's too much of a talent to be priced in this section.
Love it. All right. Billy Horschel, I'm probably going to be out on. Keith Mitchell, TBD. 75, I mean, Adam Schenk, I like him a ton. Thomas Dietrich, one of your boys. What are we doing with Dietrich?
I'm out on Dietrich this week. Markets seem to hate him. My model seems to dislike him. I will say, I don't know if I've ever gotten Dietrich correct, and I've played him a lot and it's never worked out. So maybe the one time I fade him is where he actually finds success. But even still, based off of that answer, look, I mean, he could put together a top 10 finish here. Any golfer could, but like, what is his legitimate upside? Even when he finds himself in contention, he finds a way to blow it.
Correct.
And badly blow it to where he shoots himself off the leaderboard and into a different page. Like, he goes from the first page to like the fourth page all of a sudden.
Yep. I hear you. All right. 75K Kuchar, Nick Taylor, Eric Van Rooy, and Ben Griffin. Any of those guys you like?
I like Kuchar as a contrarian play. There seems to be no ownership around him. It's a very similar answer, maybe a little bit differently because the Hadwin ball striking was better. But Kuchar found himself more towards the top of the leaderboard after round one last week. Ends up imploding and missing the cut. But I think Kuchar is a nice course fit here. I think Nick Taylor is intriguing. I see 6.5% ownership. I think that's fine for the quality of golfer that you're getting. I liked Ben Griffin. I seem to like Ben Griffin quite a bit, but thought that price was too cheap. If you want to get super contrarian with it, KH Lee flashed a little bit of something last week. He seems to be sub 2% owned right now. Have no issues to anybody that wants to go there. And then I guess just to throw out one or two more names, I agree with your Alex Smalley, like in the outright market. He's historically taken on these easy courses and played well. I see 7% right now. I mean, at what number for you is Smalley out of consideration ownership wise?
10. I think anybody in this low 7K range, anybody at 10, I'm going to be out.
I was going to say 12 just because I do think that there's enough to like about him. He's one of the significant climbers in my model right now when I am incorporating back in some of the sharp movement. And that outright price that you talked about, I think is at least worth discussing further. Like, not that I necessarily think he's going to win this golf tournament, but if we're looking at the biggest market movers from the four or five shops that I take the aggregated totals from to figure out where numbers have moved from Monday all the way to Wednesday now, the biggest mover is Harrison Endicott. That is just some narrative that has been thrown out in the space that, you know, congratulations to all three of Endicott, Kirk, Murray that have overcome their alcohol addiction. That's a great story that each one of them has there. But now if we're creating fake narratives for why he's going to win a golf tournament, I don't understand that movement. That's square money to me. Grayson Murray would be the second biggest mover. I don't hate it. He's been a boom or bust profile. We saw him win the tournament last week. I more so understand that one. Alex Smalley is the third biggest mover. Like, at the books that I respect, he's more in that 70-1 range right now. So right. If you can still find 100-1, I don't have an issue considering him there. The other big mover, if we want to talk, I guess, about a $7,000 golfer would be Patton Kizire at 7,000. Don't have an issue with Kizire either. I see him at 6-7% right now, but that's probably where I'm at. Pavon, my model liked him. I had limited data. Don't necessarily want to go too in-depth there. Don't know if you have any thoughts on Sam Ryder. He would be another player that my model liked, but you could talk me out of him probably.
Yeah, I'm not a Sam guy. Bobby Mack, we like at 6,800. Anybody in the 6K range outside of Bobby Mack that you like? I'll play a little bit of Mac Meisner. Bramlett is coming off a big injury. I'm probably going to be out there. I don't know. Actually, I feel like he's got upside at least. I'm going to play Chan Kim. Just get that out there for the folks. But is there anybody in the 6K range that you think is a guaranteed cut maker? Davis Riley's just lost it right now, so I'm out on him. Anybody you like in the 6K range?
Can I give you a non-guaranteed cut maker that I think has upside?
Sure. Yeah.
I kind of like Doug Gim. Like
he's Gim Reaper.
He's probably going to miss the cut, but he was one of the biggest upside climbers for me. We do see a fifth place from him at this tournament in 2021. Three consecutive missed cuts. But even if you look at what he's produced recently, it's either a missed cut or like a top 20 finish. So I think you could do worse if you're
that sounds like his life.
Yeah.
Like all he does.
Yeah. I think you could do worse than throw a dart with him, though, if you're playing in any of those mass field contests. A guaranteed cut maker, like
a 90% guarantee. I'll only hold it against you for like 2 days if he doesn't.
I mean, can I go to... Does it have
besides the chain wagon?
Does it have to? Can I? I mean, Patton Kizzire at 7,000. If you can afford him, like I would rather go there.
Got to lose $100. Who is it?
I mean, this is just gross. Like, oh god. I mean, like Alexander Bjork, my model liked. He found a bunch of fairways and still like he was top 10, I believe, in driving accuracy last week and still managed to miss the cut and was nowhere near making it.
He's going to be a no for me.
I mean, I guess based off of. I'll give Robert McIntyre just because I actually have a bet on him.
Hey, we already talked about him. Someone else.
Oh, Nick, you're really
need it raw live on the air. What do you got?
Let's go with the problem is as I'm like scrolling through these names right now,
it's tough.
There's no player other than the ones I have mentioned that are inside of the top 50 of my model. I'll give you a name. I will give you a name here. I don't know if I necessarily think he's going to make the cut after missing the cut at this tournament three consecutive years, but Troy Merritt at 6,500.
Oh, I was looking at him. I was hoping you didn't say him. All right. I'll accept it. Can't play this game forever. All right. He doesn't look too bad. All right.
It's a gross section, though. It just like every single player for me is outside of McIntyre. And I guess Ryan Moore. I don't hate Ryan Moore for a cash at 6,900.
I just can't play that dude.
I never get him right either.
There's just, I don't know. I mean, is he got
Carl Yuan? Do we want to go back to him?
I mean, he at least could play.
Yeah.
What's his price?
6,900.
I could play Carl Yuan. Yeah, why not?
Yeah. If I ran this from safety, like I'm trying to re-update this for safety right now. Of players in the $6,000 section, the safest player for me, I guess would be Yuan at 43rd overall.
Okay. I'm in. All right. Any closing thoughts this week? We got to get this cash lineup going. All right. Shit. This is tough. Let's see what we got. I got to build it live on air here. Let's see what we get. Go off. All right. We're going JT Poston, Eric Cole. Right. Let's see. So Poston. Sorry for the dead air here, guys, but all right. Cole, Putnam. I mean, Tony Finau is pretty damn cheap.
I do worry about Tony a little bit in cash game builds.
Say less. That's fine. Jaeger.
I'm cool with Jaeger.
I like Jaeger a lot. Shank. Or is he more of a tournament play?
I'm cool with Shank across the board. I actually think he's fine, regardless of how you want to play him.
JT Poston, Eric Cole, Andrew Putnam, Adam Shank, Jaeger, gives me Siwoo. Is Siwoo cash viable?
I mean, historically at this tournament,
there's water.
He's been, but the two biggest, and take this for what it's worth, Nick, the two biggest differences in my model when I looked for upside versus safety ended up being Finau and Siwoo. There's a reason why I bet those two to win the golf tournament and kind of trying to avoid them elsewhere with it. But Siwoo has been phenomenal on this course and a golfer that despite the struggles that he has with his putter, he is gaining massively with the flat stick on these greens. So I think that's a similar answer for why I like Finau is when you all of a sudden throw in some of those, I don't want to call it baseline numbers with their putting on this course, cause they haven't played it enough times, but when you throw in their historical data from this venue, my model wants to shoot these guys up into being like top five caliber players that can win, maybe more so for Finau on that answer, and top 10 for Siwoo. But I don't know. I think it's one of those spots where the course history is great. You just have to know that there is risk always with Siwoo, that the implosion potential is always rearing its ugly head.
I'm doing it. All right. That's the lineup. I need some upside there because Poston, Cutmaker, Jaeger, Cutmaker, Eric Cole. I guess there's some upside with him. Putnam, Cutmaker, Shank. I think Cutmaker with a little bit of upside. Go get a top 10 and get this lineup through Siwoo Kim. That's all I got for you, Spencer.
I don't have anything else either. I mean, I guess as a parting note on the show, do you want to give who your pick is to win?
Yeah, I'm going to go Patrick Cantlay. Even though I don't have exposure, it was between Patrick Cantlay or taking both Tom Kim and Justin Thomas. But I'm going to go Patrick. Actually, you know what? I'm going Xander. Everybody loves Patrick Cantlay. Give me Xander.
I'm unfortunately going to say Patrick Cantlay also wins this golf tournament. To be a little bit different, though, even from that, even though neither one of us has now gone with Cantlay, I do think that Thomas and Finau are the two dart throws outside of 20 to 40 to 1 there in that range, where if they put the pieces together, they have legitimate win equity at the prices that they were to open this week. So I think that maybe if you want to argue who the two best values were on the board, I would say Thomas and Finau. If you want to say who's the player I think wins the golf tournament, it would be Cantlay.
All right. I dig it.
All right. So you can find Nick on Twitter at StixPicks. I am at TeeOffSports. If you have any questions about the week from any of the perspectives that we've talked about, whether it's underdog, DraftKings, betting, please feel free to reach out to us at one of those handles. And as I said at the beginning, use the code BGP to get a $100 match bonus over on Underdog. The site is buzzing with different sports that you can play weekly when diving into either their season-long best ball drafts or the pick'em contest that they have. Remember, Underdog has everything you need to gain action for the week for any sport that you want to become invested in. Once again, thank you to everyone who shows us support. We would greatly appreciate if you're not signed up for Underdog already to consider signing up with the code BGP. But until next week, we will see you guys back here, and good luck.